From building a business we're talking about to creating best-in-class client experiences, we're here to explore what it takes to make sure you're top of mind and get the referral every time. Join me as I interview some of the most innovative and inspiring business owners in the online space and discover how you can create more opportunities to ensure your clients are thrilled with your work and make you the obvious choice to send their friends to. It's time to stop going it alone and start transforming your star power into staying power. I'm Dusty Arab, and you're listening to Referral Worthy. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Referral Worthy. Today, I have the wonderful pleasure of getting to speak with Stephanie Redlener, who I met when I was her roommate in Morocco late last year. So we just got kind of thrown into the thick of it in the best possible way. Stephanie, tell all of the wonderful people out there what you do.
Amazing. So good to be here. And every good story starts with we were, you know, roommates in Morocco. So
right,
it can only go up from there. So my name is Stephanie Redlener. I'm the founder of Lioness. We are an experiential company and community that brings together women leaders to step into their personal power and professional power. And we host luxury events and retreats and really about bringing women together in ways so that they have more kind of like pleasure and joy in their life and then therefore step deeper into their leadership. And then I'm also an advisor to, I work with a lot of highly ambitious female leaders as sort of a personal advisor, doing kind of coaching, advising, holistic services, helping them navigate their life choices and their business choices, getting more connected with their body, really sort of like looking at their whole life and making sure they're in deep alignment as well.
So instead of doing the thing where we're workaholics and keep burning ourselves out, there isn't actually an alternative to that.
There is. I swear there is an alternative to burning the candle at both ends, like we've talked about, right? There is a different way. And I'm just so passionate about helping women rewrite the rules of what it means to be in power in a system that wasn't built for us.
God, that's hot.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would love to hear your origin story and how you started getting into this work. When did you start?
My whole life. For my entire 44 years. No, kind of all jokes aside, I must have been a coach in a past life. Like I was like coaching my friends when I was five. Like I've always been the person that people come to with sticky problems, how to sort this out, trying to think through their life. Like I was that person in high school. I was that person in college. Like I'm kind of constantly that. And I think that I've been on my own search. I'm a soul searcher, kind of constantly focused on how do I pursue my passion and my purpose and feel the most free in my body. And I'm really like a student of life in that way. And so it's always been a thread in my career. So like that thread has taken me all sorts of places. I used to work in brand strategy and advertising. And in that role, it was like, how do we find the like cultural space where humans and brands and culture meet, right? Like it's like the questioning humanity in many ways. And then I was a talent agent for the advertising industry, helping people find careers of their dreams. I then worked in-house at places like IBM and MetLife and Fortune 100 companies, always in the talent and culture function. How do we get people to thrive inside of organizations? And then I started working with founders and startups. Also, like, how do we get the best out of people and how do people get the best out of themselves? And so I've been very like career driven myself. My origin story of like why I started Lioness is like, I am like highly ambitious. I really, really care about my career. My career is a super important part of who I am. And I hit a point about 10, 15 years ago where I was like making multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. I had a really sexy LinkedIn profile. I had all the things and I had then the marriage and I was getting married and I like all these things. I had all the kind of like external factors and I was fucking so burnt out. And I was just like, never enough. I was constantly overwhelmed. I was constantly anxious. You would have never known. I would have like been like a smiling face inside the party, right? Life of the party. But like inside, I was just like struggling and I didn't feel connected to myself. And so in my own personal development work, it was about 8 years ago when I was really like feeling like, what is the feminine? I want to get into women's work. I want to like feel more fulfilled, right? And I sort of found myself in women's circles and sort of like trying to sort myself, like blindly explore like where to find myself. And then I ran into this woman, Mama Gina, who maybe may or may not have talked about, right? I fell into her work called the School of Womanly Arts. And this was all about pleasure and how pleasure is our birthright as women. And it really changed the entire game for me. One, it made me realize how depleted I was and how much I was not taking care of myself. Two, it made me realize like how I was prioritizing everyone else except for myself and thinking that was the of service thing to do.
Three,
it was like helped me figure out like how I was actually, my emotions were stuck inside of me. And so there's just like a lot of stuff that opened inside of me in this personal pursuit. And as I started to come more alive and as I started to get more life force in me and sort of through these various multiple women's avenues of women's work, I looked around at all of my friends and all of my clients at the time, especially the women, and they were like me. They were fucking miserable. They had fancy LinkedIn titles. They had the husband and the partner and the kids and the things, and they had like ticked all the boxes. But I had the privilege of speaking to these people in a very intimate way and kind of behind closed doors. And I just saw one woman after another miserable, even though everything looked good on the outside. And so that's when I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. We can't do this. This is not what leadership should be. We can't have women cutting themselves off from the neck down to be successful. That's not what success looks like. And so I'm just super passionate on how we redefine the rules of what it means to be a woman in her power that are different from men. And we can get into this, but even just like, and I'm fascinated about our bodies, right? You look at men's hormonal cycles and that's 24 hours. Men are on 24-hour hormonal cycles and we're on 28 days. And the systems that were built around us are built for men. And I love men and no disrespect for men, but the systems that were built tens, hundreds of years ago just aren't conducive to how we thrive as women. And so that's really the kind of foundation and the driving fuel for what we stand for.
God, and there's so many good things here. I love what you said about those cycles not being built for us, because there's so much like research coming out right now that really backs that too. Like I was just looking at a study the other day talking about how women need like 1 to 2 hours more sleep a night, particularly if you're on your menstrual cycle. And I was like, yeah, obviously, like it is 2024 and we are only just starting to study women's bodies in the same way that we have men's bodies even. Yeah. And the way that that is impacting everything from the moment we wake up, even if we're feeling like we aren't getting enough sleep, for instance, how are we supposed to be like showing up as our top performing leaders anyway? None of the systems are there to help.
Exactly, exactly. And they just sort of squash us and want us to leave ourselves at the door when we walk into that boardroom and company.
And yeah, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. Another thing that I saw, and I remember sort of, you know, I was like in my early 30s when the kind of dream of Lioness was starting and bubbling. And I would look around and I would see all these women that I looked up to, right? That had jobs that I thought were really sexy and like cool and this. And I would like look at their face and I would see so much like grayness, right? Like there's something about when a woman just is not taking care of herself, right? There's this like kind of gray. And I was just like, where are the women leaders that are fully alive? That are like, they're magnetic, right? These magnetic women leaders. And I was just like, there's so few women that I could find and see that sort of embodied that. And I, again, like our magnetism is part of our leadership, I think, and a much needed skill set.
That's so interesting to me. So when you say magnetism, can you unpack that a little bit more?
You know, when someone walks in the room, and I would say men or women, right? Like someone walks in the room and you're like, who is that? And they just have that spark, or they just like have a glow to them. And it comes from like an inner confidence or like something. They feel like comfortable in their skin, whatever it is. It's like they're not like anxious, and there's just something about them. Like that's how I really look at magnetism. It's that like special sauce. Like what the fuck is, like what is that? Who are they? What are they doing?
I want what she's having.
I don't know what it is, but I want that. All right. It's like that. And that's how I would describe magnetism.
I love that. Is that what the kids are calling Riz these days?
Possibly. It's beyond my scope. I've aged out of that.
I just heard my 12-year-old say it. I was like, that sounds sexual. I know it's not, but like, it just like, I can't with you.
Yeah, what is it? It's like, that's
Riz, that? Like charisma.
Oh, okay.
But it's R-I-Z-Z. I'm like, good God, can we not?
Yeah. It's true though. It's like, you look at charisma, right? Charisma is also like somebody who's feeling good. And that's like a big philosophy of what we teach at Lioness. And what we really feel is like how we feel is also a leadership, right? How we feel about ourselves and how good we feel is part of the thing that we aim towards when we work with women. We want women to feel good in their bodies as much as they feel good walking into a boardroom or whatever.
So for someone who's trying to tap back into that, where do you start with them?
I mean, it's always, always good to start with a holistic look at life. Where are you thriving? Where are you suffering? Where are you stuck? Right. So really, I always start with anyone of like, let's get a lay of the land. Right. And even though I tend to work with a lot of leaders, right, who business is their priority, I always take a holistic approach because yes, we are at any given moment where a mom, a business owner, a leader, a daughter, a partner, like we can't actually like take away our roles. And so I really like to look at a woman's whole life and sort of like, where are we thriving? Where are we not? Where are we putting attention? Where are we not? So really kind of doing some assessment there. And then depending on that, you know, it will kind of guide what we work on. And then I really like to start to work with a woman and getting clear on what she wants. And this is sounds so simple, such a simple question. What do you want? But
right,
so hard, right? And it's sort of like we've been conditioned to not necessarily want things, or we feel bad about what we want, or we have followed the path that our parents told us to follow.
It's too selfish. I can't have that.
We think we should do, right? So really helping my clients really articulate and get clear on what they want is a huge, like kind of the next step of sort of like, where are we in life? Where are we trying to get to? And again, so it's one of all of the social conditioning that comes into that. And then it's also when we start to articulate what we want, all the fears that come in. Usually the thing we most deeply want is most deeply connected to our greatest fears. So then we start working on that. And then again, that kind of guides where we go from there.
Okay. So when you started Lioness, what fears came up for you when you finally were like, okay, I'm going to pull in all of these other practices into the work that I've been doing? What was that like?
Well, it's such a funny story you asked that because I remember starting it, AKA I had a website and then I went to Burning Man. I put on my website and then I went to Burning Man and I didn't tell anyone for, I think, 6 to 9 months that I started this company. Like I was just like, oh God, oh God, oh God. It was like me. It was basically me like stepping forward my dreams. And like, I felt so vulnerable and so nervous. And so like, even though I believed in it so deeply, it was something I felt so exposed. So no one knew I started a company for about 9 months until I actually like started to tell people. I was like, I started a company. Just kidding. Or I'm not going to tell anyone. I'll just like let it live there and stuff like that. And I think it took me a long time to even update my LinkedIn, all that. It's just like the fears of actually stepping forward into a bigger version of ourselves, right? Every time we expand, it's normal for our body to experience those fears. But I really ran with those fears for a while.
It's incredible. I appreciate how brave you are like admitting that now, because it's true. Like, I mean, all the standard small business advice is like, you got to tell your friends and family, you got to start talking about the thing to, you know, everybody you meet. You're like, nah.
I was like, I'll just run away from it. I'm going to like stand over here and run as far away as I could, you know? And so for me, my business and the way I talk about my clients too, is like, I really tend to attract and work with kind of the business artists. And so I am very much in that realm. Like Lioness is not just a random company I started, right? It is like a company that means so much to me. And I believe in it so deeply and I believe in this work, right? So it's close to me. It's like a version of my self-expression in some ways, as much as it's a business, right? It's like so, it's very, very tied to my passion and my purpose and the need in the world and all of that. So a lot of times, like when I work with clients, like they have the same, right? Like when we're doing something we really care about, it's like, it's not just a random business idea. It's like something that means a lot to us. So there's like a lot of layers baked into that.
Okay. So when you think back to that version of Stephanie, what do you wish you knew back then? Like, is there anything you would tell your younger self?
Okay. Well, always with like mantra that has got me through everything is your timing is perfect. I've had to tell myself that over and over and over again before I started my company. I had a zigzag career. I wasn't a one track woman, right? Like I'd try this and I'd work this and then I'd have a lot of friends who took the straight arrow path of like, then they were really high up and I was sort of meandering and wandering and finding my way and really just like trusting, learning to lean into the trust. Like when it happens, it's going to be perfect. And I needed to go through that windy path and I needed to start my company and run away from it in the beginning, right? To like, just like let it breathe and let it live. And so just trusting myself that like my timing is perfect. And like, I could still say that to myself now, like it still feels good, right? It's just like that it'll evolve and it'll grow in the way that it needs to and wants to. Trust yourself, baby girl, is what I would say. You've got this. It's all unfolding perfectly.
That's beautiful. So the question here is twofold. One, where do your clients come from now? And two, if you had to start from scratch today, where would you go looking for clients?
My clients come from a lot of different places, but it's funny, we're on this podcast, a lot of word of mouth. Mm-hmm. It tends to be the primary way. If someone has met me somewhere or heard me speak or saw me do an event or met me and were inspired by me and have sent people my way, I get a lot of clients from former and current clients or, you know, women that have just yesterday, one was like, oh my God, you have to meet this person. And so one of the things that I didn't say is in terms of my background, I am really, really steeped in two spaces. I am one, a business coach, a leadership coach. I have worked inside organizations in every single area. I know business. I know strategy. I know all of that. I know vision. All of that very, very deeply. And then I have 8 years in the sex and sensuality and sort of body category. And so I'm a sexologist. I am an erotic blueprint coach. I work with Mama Gina as a pleasure coach. I have Kundalini. I do work with a lot of energy and somatics, and I work on women's bodies. And so I have this very unique skill set that is in feminine practices and business practices. And so the clients that people tend to refer me to, like, there's this woman, she's so disconnected from her body. She's got a big vision. She's disconnected from her body. She's overworking herself, right? So it's like these unique people with kind of unique problems or dreams or big dreams that are sort of more holistic are the tend to be the people that get referred to me. So when my friends or clients are call me, you have to meet this woman. You're going to love her. She just had a baby, but she's also starting a business and she's trying to navigate that. Or she is in the middle of a divorce and she's business partners with her husband, right? Or she just like, so it's like, I tend to get women that are wanting to see business and their whole life all in one.
Oh, that's very cool. So the second part of that question, if you had to start from scratch today, where would you go get clients? Where would you start?
I would start with the people that love me. I would like go, I mean, I'm really privileged and lucky enough to say I have an incredible friend group and support group. And a lot of very incredible leaders in their own right are my sort of peer groups and friend groups. So I would start there and see who, because they know me so well, and see who they know. Another thing, and this is, I'm not starting from scratch, but if I was starting from scratch, I'd still do this, is I host monthly dinners and bringing female leaders together and in New York City. And so I would do that because for me, I like the one-on-one. I like the in-person, you know, I like really getting to know people and having a way to meet them. I'm not like an online mass marketer kind of person. I really like and prefer the one-on-one contact.
I know. I feel like there are so many people who try to skip that part. And for me, it's my favorite part. Like, I don't want to go wide. I want to go deep every time.
Exactly. I would start or I would host workshops at venues that I think that people go to that I would want to work with. Or I would go to conferences and speak and host workshops, you know, things like that. And kind of finding where these creative business owners are, where these women who have big dreams are, you know, and working like that.
What's your favorite thing about hosting these dinners?
The depth that we get to go to. They're called behind closed doors, and they are a place for women to take their armor off and to take their titles off. And I really started them 5 years ago because of my own desire. I was a new mom and a business owner, and I was like, okay, there's business networking groups. Great. And that's like surface level. Hi, what do you do? And then there was mommy groups. And
shoot me.
Exactly. And I was like, where's the place where I can be a grown-ass woman and like talk on one hand of like this part of my life is feeling really hard, or this is thriving and this is complicated and this is confusing, and get to kind of learn and speak and connect with women. Again, like, yes, I work with founders and I work with execs and I work with leaders, but like also they're mothers and they have partners or they have divorced parents, right? Like there's like a whole bunch of things, aging parents, right? So it's like, we cannot separate who we are as women from what we do. And I really, really kind of selfishly wanted a place where I could have those conversations for me and feel less alone. And so that's what we do there.
All right, Stephanie, last question. What makes a business referral worthy to you?
So for me, it's sort of like, if I try something and I love it and it changed my life and it had a big positive impact, I'm like immediately want to share it with everyone. So like that I have had a direct experience about something, or I like, let's say a therapist that I love, like I'll tell all my friends the therapist, right? Like I like want them to experience too. So a bit like what makes it referral worthy is to have a deep impact in my life that makes me want to share it out with the world.
Oh, amazing. Stephanie, where can people find you online if they would like to get to know you better and engage with your work?
Great. They can come check out lioness.com and also find me on Instagram at Stephanie Rudliner, and then Lioness Leadership are the two Instagram accounts. And if they want to get on, if you're a woman and in New York City, or we will be traveling soon and are interested in attending a dinner, just get in touch and we'll get you on the wait list for that as well.
Incredible. Thank you so, so much for coming on today and taking the time. This was incredible.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. I was like, when you said last question, I was like, no, ask me after. This was so fun. Thanks, Dusty.
Is your business referral worthy? Take the quiz at thereinvention.co/quiz to find out and get specific, actionable tips to take your business from best kept secret to book solid. Thanks for listening to Referral Worthy. If you like this episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.